Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 11. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless and anoint this message. Lord God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, this from your word. This is the manna from heaven that we eat to make ourselves strong, to give us direction as the right thing to do. And we see the reproof. We see the things that the people that did the wrong thing, what happened to them in your word. Lord, let this quicken unto us. Let it go into our spiritual ears, into our spiritual mind, into our complete spirit, to give us the power, the strength, the agility, the ability to walk another day in your spirit, we pray. And Father God, to keep our minds stayed upon you both day and night. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go.
Exodus chapter 11, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold.
The Hebrews knew that the people feared them, and they were friends with them because they could see that God was on the Hebrew side. And they could see that God was has destroyed their country already. And they would be afraid not to give them a jewel of gold or silver when they came to ask for it. Then what?
And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants.
Very great. That means very big. He's a big man, you know. A lot of people think they make themselves look like they're a big man or big women. Those are just usurpers of authority. A big man of God is the leader of God. And people that just make themselves big are not big in the eyes of the Lord. They're not big men. They're not chosen, special chosen people. A lot of people are called, but few people are chosen. There was only one leader back then, and that was Moses. Amen?
Amen.
And Aaron was like his disciple, his servant. Moses was like God to Aaron. God said himself. Amen?
Amen.
So the leader is the one that the people are supposed to respect as God, as they would God, because they are not made leaders unless they are a friend of the Lord. And they're just telling you what the Lord says, and you're supposed to fear them. And you're supposed to do as they say, and not to think you're smart, a smart aleck, by not doing what they say. Or that you are bigger than God, who appointed them to be over you. This is a proud spirit against the Lord. And the Lord won't tolerate it. He will not tolerate it. And either will a real person of the Lord. The Lord let 10 events happen here and tolerated him. He could have, like he said to Pharaoh, I could have killed you a long time ago. I could kill you at any time I want, God told him. But I'm just letting you stay alive. I'm being patient because the more I rack you up in so many words, the more people can see that my power is far over yours and over all the Egyptian people. And for that matter, over the sea, over everything. I'm God. And I send locusts, I send plagues, I send hail, I send boils upon you, I send darkness upon you. I send lice and frogs on you. Now, this, and I did it because my servant Moses, not some of the Hebrew children told him so, it was Moses. And when God puts a man of God over you, you're not to think of yourself as their equal at all, because then you start usurping authority, you start overriding your boundaries. You're supposed to keep your place, men and women, boys and girls, and not think of yourself or to appoint yourself to any position that God hasn't appointed or given you. All right? When people appoint themselves to do something over and above the elder of the church, the one that God has called, somebody that's supernaturally called, what you're doing is you're proud against God. It's just you despise, as the Word of God says, authority. You despise dominion over you. And to you, to God, you're a piece of dung. Now that's literal. God even says in His Word that He'll smear dung in your rotten little face. And He'll do all these things to you, or He has many devices that He can do against a person that is proud against the Word of God, or those that despise authority or despise having dominion over them. You're unruly. You can't be ruled. You're your own God. You're your own authority. You're one that will write something like, I want to make it perfectly clear with you that I'm not going to do this and this and this and this that you tell me to do. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And by God, in the name of Jesus, you've gone way over the line. You're a despicable, demonic human being for doing anything like that. You have no respect for God. You're nothing but an unruly, wretched creature. Okay, let's go on.
Verse 3.
And it doesn't make any difference how long ago something like that happened. That spirit is in you. And you better face up to it and admit it and get rid of that right now. Because God will only be patient with that sort of spirit for a very short period. He's not patient, He's not tolerant with that at all. Unless He sees you striving to repent from it. And if you don't, that spirit will always be there, and it'll crop up again one of these days, and you'll be gone. And this is a warning from the Lord. Okay, the Lord never does anything. He doesn't really do much to people unless He first warns you. Yeah, you notice in each one of these cases, the Lord warned Pharaoh what He was going to do. And He still didn't listen, and so He did it. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord may not do something to you, but He will do something to somebody you love so much. Just as He's going to do in this chapter, He'll take the firstborn, or somebody that you love, your firstborn, and there'll be a mourning in your soul. Somebody you love and don't want to see dead. He'll take them, and there'll be a moan and groaning coming out of the pit of hell, which is in your stomach, as no one has ever heard before. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 3. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt.
Big man, very great. Great man, big man, means same thing.
In the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt.
Weeping, weeping, and wailing. And they won't even care to live anymore, so He just let them go, for sure, this time. Then what?
And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it.
When He finds out that He's not God, or to even be compared to Him, He's not even a little pimple on God's little finger. And either are you, and either am I, unless you're doing what the Lord is saying. You get some kind of a haughty spirit going, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, you're not going to be ruled. You can't live around the people of the Lord then. You're unruly. You're like a wild hare that won't stay down. Then what else?
And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall it be like it any more.
Okay.
Translation, verses 1 through 6. Death for Egypt's firstborn. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, I will send just one more disaster on Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. After that, Pharaoh will let you go. In fact, he will be so anxious to get rid of you that he will practically force you to leave the country. Tell all the Israelites, men and women, to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold. Unquote. Now the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel, and Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt. He was respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people alike.
Yeah, because when he said something, it happened. He didn't just run his mouth like these people that are proud and unruly. They just run their mouth not knowing and not caring whether they're going to be thrown out or not, or that they're going to hell. It just shows that they're so demonic that they don't even have any good sense at all. They show that they don't believe in God. They say that they don't fear God and that they don't want to serve Him. They just want to do what they want to do. And they're not really an asset at all. You don't miss them if they're gone. There's no missing an unruly person. They're hateful, doleful, like some dirty, filthy bird, like a bat or a cormorant or a bittern or an owl or a screech owl. Then what?
Verse 4, translation. So Moses announced to Pharaoh, quote, this is what the Lord says. About midnight I will pass through Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt.
Now he says, I will pass through Egypt. And then in another place it says, the death angel passed through Egypt. So the Lord plainly states that he's the death angel. He also states in another place, I make alive and I kill. Amen?
Amen.
It isn't anybody else that makes alive and that can kill. And God sends locusts to kill people. He sends bees, wasps, hornets to kill people. He creates environments to kill people. Sure, He brings to life. God is a God of love, but He also, when He sees that you don't love back, He's a God of wrath, and He's a terrorist. And He doesn't make any bones about it. It's just everywhere from the beginning to this. Don't you remember in the book of Genesis where He drowned everybody except 8 souls? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so then go ahead.
All the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the oldest son of his loveliest slave.
You know, it's just amazing how most men always love their firstborn the most. Like my dad would tell my mother, I don't care how many other kids we have, I'll never love anybody like I do. Me, he said. Okay, Sonny. They call me Sonny. Bernie. I'll never love another kid like I love Bernie. And he did not love anybody but me. And so when the Lord threatens to kill the firstborn, He knows that He's getting right at the heart of people. Amen?
Amen.
That's the most horrible thing to happen, that your firstborn, or for that matter anyone, but I mean the firstborn, that's the most important. That's the one that He makes more important. You get a double portion of everything. Amen?
Amen.
Except in a few cases, which are in the Bible, because some of the firstborn didn't love God. And so He made, like, instead of Reuben, the firstborn, He made Joseph the blessed one. Amen?
Amen.
Who is next to the lastborn. Okay, then. Okay, let's go.
Even the firstborn of the animals will die.
Yeah, that's where your strength is. I mean, the firstborn is the strongest, because that's your strength. Okay, then what else? And so the firstborn of animals are usually always the strongest. Okay, then what else?
Then a loud wail will be heard throughout all the land of Egypt.
Weeping and wailing. Oh, my God. Can we go now? Get out of here. Get away from us. We don't even want any reminder of you. And it states in one of the books that is not included in the Bible that after they buried some of them, that the dogs dug them up and drug them right in front of the people. Like the parents of the firstborn, and drug them right in front of them out of their graves. In the book of Jasher. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and the book of Jasher is mentioned in the Bible. And the Catholic that put the Bible together left a lot of important books out, like the book of Enoch. The two or three books, the two books of Enoch, and the book of Adam and Eve, the book of Noah, the book of Jasher, and others. Okay, then go ahead.
There has never been such a wailing before, and there never will be again.
Never will anything strike them to their heart like that. It would have been better, like when Susie died, I said, why, God, did you not take me? Why did you take her? Because I didn't want to live anymore. When somebody you love, I mean really love more than anything in the world, goes, you want to go with them. You don't want to stay behind. I took a trip to Europe just to forget, if possible, as much as I could, to get my mind on something else, and to Israel, to the Middle East I went, in hopes that God would show me something there. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue.
A dog will not bark. It'll be so peaceful in the camp of Israel that even a dog won't bark. Be so nice and calm in there. There won't be any weeping and wailing there. There's no evil thing from God that'll happen to those that are of the Lord, that are not proud against God's word, that are not unruly. If you're not unruly, you don't have a thing to worry about. Because like Job, if God even allows something to happen to you, you're not going to swerve or say, I'm not going to do this or that. I'm not going to obey those that have the rule of me. I don't care what you say, God. Because I don't believe you chose the right person. I thought you should have chose me. But in the camp of Israel, the people that were willing to go along with anything the Lord said, it was so peaceful and calm there that not even you could hear the tongue or the bark of a dog. Okay, then what?
But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel.
Right, now the Egyptians were known as the devil. I mean, that's just a comparison going back to hell. That's the oven, the pit of hell, and the Lord delivering you out of hell into the promised land. And God makes a difference between satanic people, unruly people, and people that will be ruled by the Lord. There's a great difference between the two. One are sheep, the sheep of the Lord, and the goats of Satan. One is the chosen people, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, and the other one is just chaff to be burnt. Worthless. Something vile that you want to throw out into the fire. Then what? Mm-hmm.
And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger.
Yeah, now Moses knew that God was finally going to deliver him. And now he knew he didn't have to take any more of Pharaoh's stuff. Just like the Lord doesn't make us take anybody else's stuff. If we're running a church and they're trying to usurp authority, the Lord tells me, get them out. Thrust them out. And Moses was extremely angry, and he slams the door on Pharaoh and says, "You're over with. There is no more. You're going to be crushed tonight at midnight." Okay, then go ahead.
Translation, verses 7 through 8. "But among the Israelites it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites."
A lot of difference between sheep and goats to the Lord. The chosen ones, the lambs of God, and chaff. A whole lot of difference, even though you're not that bright to know that, some of you unruly people that will be hearing this message. But the Lord knoweth, and he makes a difference, and he will do it. He will do it openly before the eyes of everybody.
Translation, verse 8. "All the officials of Egypt will come running to me, bowing low. Quote, 'Please leave,' they will beg. 'Hurry, and take all your followers with you. Only then will I go!' Exclamation mark, unquote. Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh's presence." King James Version, verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt.'"
Yeah, he's not going to pay any attention to this, so I'm going to strip him down real good now. And everybody's going to know what I do to people that just harden their heart, absolutely refuse to do what I tell them to do. And that is, goes, the same God is telling everybody, he says, these are our examples as to what he does to unruly, proud against God people. You will do what he says, or you will be in hell and in the lake of fire. And then you come pouting and, you know, tears in your eyes. Am I going to go to hell? Yes, if you're unruly, you will certainly be in hell, all right? God doesn't choose unruly people for anything other than the hell. He enlarges hell. Because God is a good God, but he's very strict. And he's good to those that are strict also. Not to wishy-washy, garbage-type people. And God doesn't say everyone is equal. He says, "Jacob have I loved." And Esau, does he say he loves him too because he's equal? No, he says, "Esau have I hated." Amen?
Amen?
So he hates unruly people and people that don't care anything about heaven. And they don't seem to care whether they go to hell or not. They don't want to, but they don't want to pay the price. There's a price to pay. And then you've got these false prophets that say, Jesus paid the price. Yes, he did for our initial salvation. But he states after we're saved, we have to take up a cross too and live the sort of life that he did. We have to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. We have to let him work his works in and through us. That means we are co-workers with him, and we can't be unruly to do that. If you balk or you are stubborn against God, he before it's over, he'll take you to pieces. And the Lord has had me read this word to you and explain these things to you so that you'll know these things, so that if you do it now you have no excuse. You know that this is the way God is. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's go ahead.
Verse 10, King James Version. "And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land." Translation, verses 9 and 10. "Now the Lord had told Moses, quote, 'Pharaoh will not listen to you, but this will give me the opportunity to do even more mighty miracles in the land of Egypt,' unquote. Although Moses and Aaron did these miracles in Pharaoh's presence, the Lord hardened his heart so he wouldn't let the Israelites leave the country," unquote.
That was it. Oh yeah, that's verse 10 in chapter 11. And now there's some commentary. That's the last verse in chapter 11. Go ahead.
11, verse 1 through 3. Quote, "Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, 'I will send just one more disaster on Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. After that, Pharaoh will let you go. In fact, he will be so anxious to get rid of you that he will practically force you to leave the country. Tell all the Israelites, men and women, to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold." End quote. Now the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel, and Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt. He was respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people alike. End quote. People who are not directly involved in a dysfunctional or abusive relationship, as Moses and Aaron were with Pharaoh,
and also the Hebrew children, right? And then what else?
Often evaluate things quite differently from those who are. While Pharaoh obviously hated and feared Moses and the Israelites, the majority of Egypt's leaders and populace did not share his feelings. They didn't hate Moses or Aaron or the Israelites.
No, so even though there's a great population of people today that don't like to see us distributing literature all over the place, but there's a lot of people that applaud us for doing so. Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of dysfunctional people in the world that hate the Word of God and don't like to see, and they hate people that distribute it. They hate people that write it and distribute it and who finance it. But there's a lot of people that really love it, and they say that their whole life has changed from reading it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
They didn't hate Moses or Aaron or the Israelites. Check it out in chapter 11, verses 2 and 3.
Okay.
Quote, "Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people."
Right. So Pharaoh and some of those officials, Pharaoh didn't like him, but he feared him. But all the other people liked him. Amen?
Amen.
And feared him. Okay, too. Yeah, we'll give you anything you want. You want gold? Fine. Do you want an ox or a sheep or a goat? He said, yeah, we'll give it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody that doesn't fear the power, there's something so radically wrong with your brain and your spirit, your soul, that, it's just unrepairable, it seems like to me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
A crucial step in accurately understanding the realities we face is to realize that not everyone has it in for us.
Right. Just because you get a little flack from very few people, or even you may think it's a lot of people, it's 100 people, but there's hundreds of millions of people in the world, and billions of them, and a lot of them really absorb. We hear letters from the United States, from Central and South America, where people are really on fire for the Lord from this literature, from India, Africa, and hundreds of 100 different countries or more in the world. Seems like we're everywhere, amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
There's a
lot. Even
in
China, we hear all these people are quarreling over the doctrine that I have, but they can't argue against the Word of God. Because these people that are in Hong Kong, I got a letter from one of them, or an email, and they're saying some of them take issue with this one particular thing that you say, but we show them in the Bible and they still don't receive it. And I said, well, you know, that's just like Pharaoh, amen?
Amen.
Okay, it's coming from the Lord and they still don't receive it. But still, he says, there's a bunch of us out here, you know, the majority of us really love your literature and we're distributing it everywhere. So, you know, some of the world has got it in for us. But God is with us, amen?
Amen?
And if God is with us, who could be against us? And these dysfunctional people, you know? All right, they don't function properly. All right, then what?
There's a lot of people who really believe in the message that we carry. Some, and quite a few of them, will regard our progress toward getting the gospel out quite favorably. Some will even cheer us on, exclamation mark.
Yeah, I can hear them in the spirit. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen. And I see their letters saying that, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
11 verses 9 through 10, quote, "Now the Lord had told Moses, quote, Pharaoh will not listen to you. But this will give me the opportunity to do even more mighty miracles in the land of Egypt, unquote. Although Moses and Aaron did these miracles in Pharaoh's presence, the Lord hardened his heart so he wouldn't let the Israelites leave the country, unquote.
Right. Almost every day people see people getting healed. They see people getting saved. There's all kinds of responses where whole villages get saved. This is miraculous. And people still don't, they say, you know, we're not going to do what the Lord says. Or they'll say, we want to go out into the world. And these are miracles, and they still, so they know what they're doing. And they know, they got to know that they're evil too. But they can't live, you know, the Lord tells us in these last days in chapter 11 of the book of Revelation that we're to measure people up according to the word and to put those unruly ones, those ones that are not, that don't measure up to the word of the Lord, to put them out to the outer court. Put them out with the Gentiles. Put them out with the rest of the world because that's what they really love. They hate God. And they hate the messengers that God has sent. And they hate the authorities that God has put over them. They despise them. And what they don't realize is that the authorities despise them also. That they are tolerating things, so they are letting just as long as the Lord lets. Because the Lord says he letteth just for a period of time, and then he puts down the hammer. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's all. And some people mistake God's patience for stupidity. But if a person such as myself and others can see the way God operates, then it seems strange to me that they can't, that they just can't. And it's not stupidity. That's just the way God is. He's patient and long-suffering. But all of a sudden, he cuts you off, and without remedy, there's no prescription that you can go get to get back to the Lord. Just as Esau, who tried to get back to the Lord and wept bitterly to try to get a place back with God, but he couldn't. And he's in hell and going to the lake of fire as well. He never repented. Doesn't matter if he hugged his brother and kissed him. He still had that wicked spirit in him. Hugging and kissing means nothing. It's just an outward show. And there's many deceitful people that will do that. There's a guy named Brutus that stabbed his friend in the back, amen?
Amen.
And his friend says, you too, Brutus? Et tu, Brut? Bruta? Brutus? Hey, you too? You've ganged up against me with the rest of these devils? So, I don't, you know, people kiss in movies and they hate each other. One of them's a lesbian, the other one's a faggot. But they make you believe that they really love each other, you know? And that's, you know, one of the things that really turned me off in Hollywood when I went there to be an actor many, many, many years ago. I just am not a phony person. You know, I'm going to come out and say it like it is. I'm not going to kiss a lesbo, you know, knowingly. All right? When I was unsaved. All right? And I certainly am not going to associate with homosexuals. Even before I was saved, it was detestable to me. Okay? So... all right, let's go on.
God gave Pharaoh numerous chances to soften his heart. The tough love God displayed in this progression of plagues...
And why do we call it tough love? Because the Lord, he shows that love is not really kissy and huggy and all that kind of stuff. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. So if love is reproving and rebuking somebody. And if your sons and daughters don't understand that, or if you don't understand that, then you're so far away from the actual reality of the knowledge of the Lord that it's pitiful. Because this is tough love, what he was doing to Pharaoh. He was showing him, look, I'm God. Serve me, because I can really rack you up, okay? And I will rack you up. And can't you see me racking your whole land up, your whole entire nation? Now repent, so I can, you know, make everything grow again and take the frogs away and all these. He let that happen. But as soon as he took his hand of cursing away, the plagues away, then he just was the same way. He forgot how marvelously God can rack him up. It's just like people. They get healed. And what do? They start living a righteous life. I've heard of a person that was like in a wheelchair. There's a lot of people that are in wheelchairs and are blind and everything, and they don't want to get healed because they they don't want to get off blind aid, or they want money from the government. So they pray that they won't get healed. But there are people that got healed, and they go out in to start going into nightclubs and bars and becoming prostitutes and everything else, and God just kills them. There's this one woman, her name was Froman, I forget, she was a singer. And the Lord came to her and revealed himself to her in a vision, and she got saved. What was her first name? They did a movie on her. Jane Froman. Jane Froman story. And so it was such a marvelous thing because she changed. She used to be a booze hound, drank a lot and everything. And as soon as she got saved, the AAA, Alcoholics Anonymous, came to her and says, we'll do a movie on you if you'll just say that we are the ones that converted you instead of Jesus. And she says, how much money do I get? What have they offered her? All of a sudden she did it, and the Lord took his hand off of her, and she had no more power. And one night she started drinking again immediately, and she had all this money. She forgot about the Lord appearing to her. And she was drunk and smoking a cigarette, and she fell asleep while she was smoking and burned the whole place down and burned her up with it. She would not give Jesus the glory, but gave it to this miserable, wretched organization called Alcoholics Anonymous. Even if you stopped taking alcohol, if the Spirit of the Lord is not dwelling in you, you're still lost. What good is that? Amen?
Amen.
So a lot of people are morally, or they won't commit adultery or fornication, they won't booze, they won't become lesbians or homosexuals or something, but they don't serve the Lord. They don't ask the Lord to come into them, and the Lord is not the Lord of their life. Morally, most people think they're just wonderful people and they're nice to everybody and all that, but unless the Spirit of the Lord is living in you, there's no way that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you're denying the Lord of glory, the one that died for you, and the one that went to hell for you, the one that suffered and died for you, went to hell for you, and then conquered death, hell, and the grave, and then ascended up into the kingdom of heaven, and then became a life-giving spirit to enter into you, and then you won't let him. You just want to be your own person instead of being a God person. And therefore, I don't care how moral you are, you're going to hell. Without God, without the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, and God is in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is Jesus, you're not going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Because it means nothing to you that he died for you and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven for you. It means nothing to you to have his Spirit in you. You're a phony. You like to say you're a Christian, but the Spirit's not in you, and you are not a Christian unless the Spirit of the Lord's in you. Okay, go ahead.
The tough love God displayed in this progression of plagues eventually led the king to hit bottom emotionally. See chapter 12, verses 29 through 32. Quote, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also, unquote.
Yes, and he probably felt that, my God, he took the firstborn, that was warning enough. Now if I don't do it, he's going to probably take me. And my army. Well, he still, after that, sent his army after him. Every one of them drowned in the Red Sea. Is that it? All right, and then what else?
God often intervenes in our life in similar ways. When difficult times come, many of us become angry with God. It may be wise, however, to start listening to what the Lord is saying to you, because he's not wrong. You are. There's something wrong with you if you're angry at God.
Right, because God never does anything wrong, okay? God is always right. And if you think that God is wrong, you're really retarded. You're warped. Okay, God has never done a wrong thing in his entire existence, and he's existed forever. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? He's a good God.
Amen. God may be giving us chances to find a new life. He will use the difficulties we face to show us our errors and lead us to correct our ways.
Yes, that is love. Amen?
Amen.
You hate somebody that loves that much? Well, you're out of your mind. Then what?
Let's not, like Pharaoh, refuse God's intervention until it's too late. Let us learn God's hard lessons, realizing that He will help us through all the difficulties and pain.
Praise the Lord. That was chapter 11 in the book of Exodus. And I'll be working on chapter 12 this evening. Till then, keep concentrating on these things. Keep them first and foremost in your mind. Be thankful to the Lord that the Spirit of God dwells in you. That God the Father, in the Son, Christ Jesus, is the Holy Spirit, and they're in you, the whole God Himself. There's no three gods. The God, the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in you, and you're able to do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We're more than conquerors in Him, and there are people in this world that love what we're doing. There are many millions of them, so... be courageous and very bold and very brave. Set your face like flint before this evil, wicked world, and you'll rejoice in the kingdom of heaven and be so happy that you did. Until then, God bless you. Until next message, and praise the Lord. Amen.